Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined today by a great guest, actually my favorite podcast guest to have, my buddy, my friend, Patrick Mayo, Esquire the 7th. You're not an Esquire. You're probably not a junior, but I'm very excited to have you on the show to talk some gambling. Good week for me last week. My gold star, lock it in, lock of the week pick, Arizona Cardinals at home, +2.5, hit by the hair of its chinny chin chin, Pat.
Yeah, and Arizona coming back to cover the 18 points, broke up a winning, a solid 7-game Sunday parlay I had on the go. That was the last game to finish. I was counting my monies, and then all of a sudden,
very tough scene.
Kyler Murray came back.
You can't doubt Kyler, buddy. He's too good. He's simply too good.
I will definitely underestimate Kyler Murray. I'm not going to lie.
Last week on the show, Jim and I went through our 5 favorite picks. Pat and I are going to do 3. But the reason I wanted to do just 3 is I wanted to do 5 or 10 minutes on the 2 super square lines at the top of the show. And the super square lines, the first one is the Baltimore-Arizona game, where Baltimore is favored by 13.5 at home, and everyone and their dog wants to take Arizona +13.5. And the other super square line is New England on the road at Miami, 18.5 points. Pat, do you think that the Patriots and the Cardinals are the 2 squarest bets of the year?
Yes. I really like the Ravens. That's already gone down. Like, my book has it at 13 now, down from -13.5. And the Dolphins.
I think I would bet it at 14.5. I would bet the Arizona side at 14.5. Right now, I think it is like probably just not a bet.
I like the Ravens in this game. The Ravens traditionally over the past 3 years just absolutely mollywop just terrible teams, and the Cardinals are a terrible team. That the pace of play that Baltimore can play and their potential to score points in this game, plus they have a good defense that I don't think what we saw from Kyler Murray last week, that if they're just down by 18 in the fourth quarter, that all of a sudden they're just going to come back.
They're probably just not going to give it back to them like the Detroit defense did.
That's what I'm thinking as well. Like the other game, the Patriots-Dolphins game, is just a pure stay away. Like, if I had to pick a side, I'd pick the Dolphins side just because it's an outlandish amount of points. But I don't understand the line. Like, it's at 19 now. If you made this -26, I still think you'd get the same action on the Patriots.
I think up to 30 points, people would just blindly bet the Patriots. I really do think that. Like, I think like Johnny $6, who's walking into whatever casino he's walking into, wants to get like as much money down against the Miami Dolphins as possible.
Like right now, 87% of both spread and money line tickets. I don't know who the hell is taking the Patriots on the money line this week. That seems insane. Is on the Patriots, which is just crazy.
Well, you could throw it. You could throw it in a parlay, right? I guess is what people are doing.
Why would you even put that in a parlay?
It's like the same thing as making like the made cut parlays you like to do.
But the made cut parlays are all like -135.
-3,000. Right.
Yeah, the Patriots on the money line this week are what? -1,700. Like, that's not really – like, if I took, let's say – I don't know. I like the Bills to win. We'll get to that. But they're -125 on the money line. I like them against the spread either way. So I get my -125. If I throw the Patriots and Bills on a parlay, it goes to -111.
Right.
Like, that's not worth it.
Yeah. I'm seeing if right now we have an updated New York Jets Cleveland Browns line. Yeah, so that line is not out yet. Literally 10 minutes before we started this show, the Jets announced that Sam Darnold is not going to be playing in this game. But so in general, in these games with super massive spreads at the beginning of the year, like, do you just think those are probably like no bets? Because they're probably just like super emotional reactions to what we saw week one.
Oh, absolutely. And it's almost the same reason I ended up on the Skins last week against the Eagles. Like, a home dog is one thing. A home dog in division is another thing if you're going to be double-digit points. Like, it's either bet the points and take the 19 or wherever the hell that ends up getting. Like, I'd wait till Sunday because it's probably going to continue to go up as people smash the Patriots. But just honestly, it's probably a no bet.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into the picks. What is your first pick that you are in on this week?
The mighty, mighty Buffalo Bills. It opened at 3. It dropped to 2.5. It's now down to 1.
This is so good.
They are favored on the road against the Giants. The Giants are ass. Like, they're terrible. And if they couldn't do anything against the Dallas defense until, realistically, Dallas stopped trying at the end of the game, and even then, they couldn't do anything. Well, they're in for a rude awakening because the Bills' defense is probably better than the Cowboys' defense. They were just going to attack Eli all game. The only hesitation I have is Josh Allen. Now, he can turn the ball over 6 times, and even if that's the case...
That would be the only way. He'd have to throw, like, 2 pick sixes for me to think the Giants could win this game. Not, yeah, like, well, even one, I think the Giants are still favored.
Like, Barkley could go... No, like, if I always like trying to create a path for the other team, the way that I don't see it. Like, what happens? Like, Josh Allen turns the ball over a bunch, and Barkley is just absolutely unstoppable and rushes for 200 yards. But even in that case, I still think the Bills can cover the 1.5 in this game. And they're in a weird position here that they were at the Meadowlands last week. Like, there's nothing – they're in the same locker room. Nothing has changed for them. So they're actually into week 2 of the season. They may actually be more comfortable where they're at than the home team is.
There's actually – this is something I've been trying to do a little bit more when I actually, like, sit down to make picks is, like, the – over the last, like, 10 to 15 years, all the sharp sources you could listen to have basically said, like, home field stuff has mattered less and less, especially with – because the reason home field used to be such a big advantage was, one, travel really sucked, like, especially, like, you know, 30 years ago. And then more recently, it was referee stuff. But now we have video referee stuff for everything. So, like, I am more comfortable betting road favorites now than I would have been, like, 5 years ago.
I can see that. Who's starting for the Jets, by the way?
Trevor Siemian is starting for the Jets.
Oh, my God. Trevor Siemian still in football?
With Luke Falk, the old Saints backup, is going to be their backup quarterback now.
So where should I put Trevor Siemian in my weekly rankings? Last?
You can put him ahead of Eli just to, like, laugh.
Yeah, I'll probably do that. I mean, I would definitely start Minshew Walk over him.
Oh, Minshew way over him for sure, no doubt.
Yeah, I had Eli last. I'll put him in. Would I play? Would I play Trevor Siemian or Joe Flacco?
Do I remember this correctly? That Trevor Siemian used to run a little bit.
Yeah, he's got a bit of mobility, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen him play in like 3 years.
Yeah, I feel like I just, like, kind of loosely remember the fact that he used to run just a few steps here or there. Like, that's really about it. But that would be the only reason that you would feel comfortable starting him at all. So, okay, my first pick, this one should be pretty obvious, but it is Jacksonville +9. That's just too much, right? Like Houston is a good team. They're not a great team. They're not a team that should just be walking around favored by 10. I think much like there is an emotional reaction to the Miami and the Arizona lines, I think people are acting like Gardner Minshew is just this gigantic downgrade from Nick Foles, and I do not think that that is true.
I'm with you on that. That was actually going to be my second pick. I saw them at 8. I have them at 8.5 on my book right now. You want to give me the 9, I'm all over that. I actually think that they are a live outright dog as well at +325. Like, you don't need to – I would bet the spread over betting the money line, but I might try to allocate some of my money. Like, if I was going to bet $100 on that line, for example, I might put 75
on the spread and 25 on the money line.
I've
only bet I didn't – the only underdog money line that I liked last week was Green Bay, but I didn't bet – that was the only I you probably like to bet the money line dogs a little bit more than I do. I think I'm too much of a nit for that.
I actually don't. It's funny. Like, I spend so much more money – like, even this week, I'll have more money on the golf than I will on football.
Yeah, I mean, I like to bet spreads, but I mean, I bet a lot of favorites though. I would never pretend like I'm someone who's super comfortable just like betting lots of dogs and getting there. I bet a lot of favorites just because I don't know. It's just kind of my personality.
I mean, I like to just for kicks, like for like low money stuff. I like to create like 4, 5, 6, 7 team parlays against the spread. Just kind of who do I like this week? Play a round robin of it, and hopefully, if you hit 3 of the 4, you know, you make a bit of money if you hit, you know, four of the five kind of thing, you make a bunch of money. You hit all five, you win all of the monies. But that's just mainly for like entertainment purposes. I'm not like investing a whole bunch. If I'm actually going to bet a football game, I try to limit it to three a week that I bet on, because I want to, like, if I'm going to invest so much into, let's say, betting a golfer, like I bet Neiman this week at 22-1, like that's a substantial investment for me to bet a guy that low at 22-1. And I start thinking to myself, what do I have to bet on a football game to make it worth my while? If it's going to be like even,
you got to bet a lot on a, you got to bet, like, for me, it's like, it would be like a minimum of like 10 units on like a money line for it to be like worth doing, instead of, cause like the other thing is player props are so profitable, and you can make one unit bets on those and make as much profit as if you were betting like, you know, money lines or whatever.
And that's what I found so far this year. Like, I basically played all the props in the Bills Jets game last week. I had like Anderson under, total yardage, Crowder and Beasley over receptions. Like, you can, it's a more efficient market if you're really paying attention. Now, you can't bet as much on it, but I would say that like the prop hit rate for anyone, you're going to have bad weeks, you're going to have good weeks, but my margin of winning is far higher on props than it is actual spreads.
Yeah. I mean, you're like very good gamblers sometimes don't beat the rake over six, like over a 16, 17 week NFL season. But I mean, the reason why player props are beatable is that whales are not betting player props. Like, you can just get money down on player props that like other people who are super serious into gambling just don't even care about.
Yeah. Like, if your budget per week to gamble on football was, let's say, $100 or $200, that kind of thing, like, you'd be better off a diversifying your money across, like, you know, six props or something like that, or four props is just probably a better allocation of that money. Cause then you can go 3 for 4 and still end up a winner, hopefully, unless like the vig is just way, way too high. But let's say you played 8 and you win 6 of the 8. Now you're doing really well. But if you go 4 and 4, you only really lose a little bit, and you still have your bankroll to work with.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Did I steal your second pick?
Yeah, I like the Jags +8.5. Like I said, you get them at 9, it's even better.
Okay, I will give a free one then. This would be my fourth one. Kansas City -7.5. I don't care that they're on the road. This team, they are so much better than Oakland is. Oakland, they looked fine against Denver, whatever. Kansas City's offense is something else. They're going to beat a lot of teams by double-digit points this year. Oakland probably amongst them.
Yeah, they're down to -7 right now after opening an 8 at the book I'm looking at. So it's a situation, and I try to tell Cuss this every week when he puts together these teasers. Hey, don't play teasers. They will just take your money. But he teases against the Chiefs every single week. Like, they are not the sort of team that you want to tease against.
No, why would you tease against a team that can score in, like, 19 different ways? That seems so weird.
Like, it makes no sense. Like, if you're ever going to tease against some teams, like KC, the Rams, the Saints, the Patriots, those are not the teams. The teams that can legit score 50 points on any given week, don't tease against them. They could win by 30.
Yeah, that like Kansas City gets down to their third string offense, and it's like Mecole Hardman and Darwin Thompson like running like double end around reverses. It's really not a good situation. Like, and that is another thing. I like, this is such fish logic, but I love a team with like really good punt returners on these big spreads, because you can just so easily see them grabbing a free touchdown when they already have a good offense. That's about as big of fish logic as I can give out on a podcast.
Well, I mean, the other two teams, I mean, this doesn't translate year to year. You'll have to pick this up as it goes along. But, like, for years, Baltimore, and even last year with the Bears, is not only do they have a good defense, they are actively trying to return touchdowns. Like, Baltimore.
Yeah, they're trying to get, yeah, good point.
Baltimore's D used to have design plays if Ed Reed picked off the ball to get into, like, a return unit and, like, start running, like, reverses after they had the pick. And it led to, like, 5 defensive touchdowns one year. It was crazy.
Yeah, you definitely do not. Yeah, Baltimore actually, I think, is an example of a team this year that would be the same way. That you just be like, why would you want to gamble? Like, I would bet against Baltimore on the spread. I don't know if I've ever done a teaser. I probably haven't actually.
They're not. I mean, there's, unless you're Cuss, there are very few teasers that you make. You're like, well, that can't lose, and then you're like, oh, here's how it lost.
I mean, anytime I make a bet, I'm basically assuming there's a pretty good chance that it's a losing bet, because that's just, you know, that's the way the market works.
Well, I mean, I really like the, like, I don't see the board well, and I had a really good week last week. I am not seeing the board as well this week. Like, there was legit eight games.
There was a lot of games I liked last week. These are the four that we are talking about here are the only ones that I am really interested in. What is your gold star lock of the week?
Okay, that was actually the Bills. The Bills are my favorite bet.
Okay.
And Jacksonville would be second. It's probably Dallas third, although that number is inching up higher.
That's my lock it in, set it down, walk away, and forget that that money is as good as gold pick of the week.
Well, the biggest thing here is like my best, like, because people always ask you for parlays, and if people don't know, parlays are losing wagers, so you probably just shouldn't do them. But I understand that they're fun. I like doing them too. This is supposed to be fun, so whatever you find the most fun, you should do. So people were asking, like, what is the play here? I was like, just if you really want to take advantage of the best value on the board, just do Rams Chiefs money line parlay. It pays plus money, and you're getting potentially the two best teams at football at close to even odds. I think it paid just over 2-1. And I was just like, these teams should be favored by a lot more than they are. Now, that's not a guarantee that they're going to win, but week one was right. So soft for just betting on the really, like, all the really, really good teams were not favored in the way that they should have been. And now we lucked out that they were both on the road, so that really helped. But if you think a team is really good, you continue to ride with them. And I think Dallas is really good. So 5.5 is fine for me.
That's the thing. I will be including them. Are there books that let you parlay player props? The book that I have money on does not allow me to throw props, like player props, into parlays, but I would consider throwing in some of the props I'm betting this week with the Dallas money line or with Dallas on the points.
No legitimate book allows you to do that. But if you play on like five dimes, I think you can do it.
Wow. There we go. Yeah. I mean, like, look, those are little edges that some US-based customers might still have. But I mean, the Dallas line, I think what you said is pretty instructive. You know, the market might not fully adjust to this new sample of a Dallas team for a month. And we do. I think they are so good. I think Dak Prescott, you know, already had the best game of his career. And they just look like a brand new team with Kellen Moore, and the defense is finally good. And the defense finally doesn't need Sean Lee to be good. So it's just, there's just a lot of things. And Washington is probably even coming up off a performance that's above their baseline as well.
That is the big thing right there, is that, yes, they punched above their weight last week. And if there's one thing we know about Philly, and it's actually how Washington had them in the first half, is their secondary is putrid. Like, you can go deep on Philly and be ultimately successful. It's why I like Atlanta this week, but, you know, not enough to, like, really strongly back, because Philly is a very good team. We saw the amount of points that they can put up. Dallas is much stronger on the back end. And again, without Trent Williams around, and they're starting Adrian Peterson, like, what's their game plan going to be? I formation up the gut 25 times.
I'm actually very curious. Like, I wonder if they just go full Chris Thompson until he gets hurt. I bet that's their plan.
If that's the case, play him on DraftKings and bet. Like,
yeah, definitely.
The prop, are the player props out for that? Yeah, let's see. There's 200. No,
I don't see any player props yet, but they might be up on DK. They are not up on the book I'm looking at yet.
Individual player props are not out yet, just team props. But, like, over Chris Thompson receptions is probably a pretty good bet.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a couple props I'm looking for when they come out on Sunday. Under on David Montgomery props, under on Todd Gurley props, over on Giovanni Bernard props. Those are three that I'm going to be looking for Sunday morning when they come out.
I don't usually bet the Thursday night game, just because I've over the past 2 years, I have such a poor track record on Thursday night.
Although this is coming out after the Thursday night game, so be careful with what you're about to say.
Okay, so I was just going to give out first touchdowns, but if people are curious, I like to just – I'm not going to say who it is, because you can follow my Twitter feed or my Instagram feed.
There we go. Follow Pat on Instagram.
But the way that I like to play – you know how I bet first-round leaders in golf all the time?
Yeah, it's like the same thing.
Yeah, it's the strategy behind my first-round leader strategy is essentially – strategy around strategy. I mean, anyway, I usually take like 7 to 10 players per week in golf to be first-round leader, all from 100-1. So you hit one every 10 weeks to be profitable. Now, in Canada, I have the each way option. So if one of them comes inside the top four, I churn out a mini profit of the week anyway. That actually does happen a lot. It's one of the softest markets in gambling, at least from what I have found. I think first down it's just more fun and you don't have to invest the amount of money you would picking a line, but like you can find guys that are 20-1 to 50-1. These guys score the first touchdown all the time. So if you have to hit one all year, essentially, if you play the Thursdays and the Mondays and you hit one or maybe two throughout the course of the season, like you're going to be up money. It's a low investment. It's just a lot of fun to root for. So that'd be my way to tackle entertainment wise, the primetime games, because they're all stupid.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, is there anything worse than touchdown, kickoff, commercial, or a touchdown, commercial, kickoff, commercial, first drive? Like it's unbearable. So yeah, like gambling. I'm sure gambling goes way up during the primetime games because they're way more insufferable than red zone on Sunday.
Yeah, I can't believe the ratings are so high for these primetime games.
It seems crazy, but people eat it up.
It's not though, because I watch every single one of them.
Yeah, I watch them too, but I like complain about how bad the product is while I'm engaging with it. So I guess they still win.
So your triggeredness is the entertainment about it.
I mean, I love watching football. I hate watching commercials. I really like, you know, just because what other point in my life do I watch commercials? I stream everything else, and even when I watch baseball or basketball, I'm doing it on League Pass or whatever. Like I'm flipping around. Like I guess golf on the weekends is I would get some commercials, but even they do the playthrough, so they show the commercials on the side.
Imagine watching baseball. Ugh.
I'll watch in like April and May when it first gets started, and I don't hate it yet.
Yeah.
And I watched it when the Royals were good. I watched it. I watched it too.
And this is coming from someone who used to cover baseball full time until 3 years ago. I watched.
It's the worst.
I watched 0 seconds of baseball this year.
It's horrible. I mean, it's just like anything else. You have to be gambling on it for it to be good at all.
Yeah, the only thing that I really got into, and maybe it's because I was in the city, is I got big into the Raptors this year. Like, I usually go to, like, 3-4 games a year. I probably went to, like, 10 this year. And just the playoff run was – the city was absolutely electric the entire time during the playoffs.
How tilted are people about Kawhi?
Not really.
Yeah, too Canadian and nice about the whole thing.
It's what everyone expected. It was kind of sold as like, this is a 1-year rental. We're all in. We're going to try to win the title. And then they did win the title. So everyone's kind of happy. They wish he would have stayed, obviously, but here we are. And they're not going
to. You want to tell the NBA future?
Not really. I think that actually, I'm curious to see what the Raptors win total is going to be, because they're not going to be bad this year without Kawhi. Mm-hmm. They were the 2 seed last year, and Kawhi played, like, what, 3 regular season games or what the hell it was?
I think he played 52 of 82, something like that.
If Siakam can be as good as he was last year and Lowry can just be, like, neutral, then they'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that seems just about right. So, yeah.
Like, they're not contenders. Don't bet them to win the title. But, like, win total-wise, I'm actually curious to see what that is right now. Vietnam, NBA, good God. There's a lot of these basketball futures. I don't see NBA futures, though.
Are they out yet? Probably not.
Yes, no. I just have NBA game lines. Pelicans at Raptors, -5.5. I don't even know when that's for. Tuesday, October 22nd. That line is out.
There we go. I mean, the futures are probably there somewhere. We would just have to go dig for them.
Google's usually pretty helpful. It's NBA win totals. It's like when people ask me what stuff is.
Hey, what's that?
Like, can you please explain this to me? It's like, just type it into Google, man. It's gonna literally take you 10 seconds, and we'll get it all figured out. Here are win totals here. Where are the Raptors at? This thrilling podcasting, by the way.
Oh, the people love this. There's no better genre of podcasting than people Googling things and trying to vamp while Googling things.
45.5 is the Raptors win total.
Oh, yeah, I take the over pretty easy.
Yeah, like they can – I don't know if they'll get to 50, but they should be around. Like the East still sucks. Like it's what? The Sixers, the Pacers, the Celtics, and the Bucks, right?
Yeah, but the Celtics are garb.
And like the Pacers could be garb too.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Like the Nets should be marginally better. No one's buying the Magic. Like the East is just still trash, so I wouldn't worry too much about that. I do have a good bet for you though, if you have Bodog and or Bovada.
Yeah, let's end this. Good bets from Pat Mayo. End of the podcast.
The Canadian election began yesterday. So our campaign cycle is only 6 weeks. So the election's actually at the end of October. Andrew Scheer, the conservative leader, is actually a co-favorite with the current prime minister, handsome Justin Trudeau. They're both minus 130, and Trudeau is going to win.
Okay, so just bang Trudeau for the max?
Yeah, I mean, you might be like, there could be like an election cycle where, you know, it's very like, the polling is exceptionally close right now. So that's why they're at even money. But the further we get into this, just no sitting president, or president, sorry, no sitting prime minister in a first-term government in Canada has ever been beaten on his second-term election unless it was by a former prime minister.
Yeah, no incumbents, that's just a good political rule in general. Incumbents just win.
And generally, like when you're talking about parliamentary systems, very rarely do you see someone go from a majority in parliament to losing. If anything, it'll just be a minority government, which is still a win.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we go. Canadian Politic Bets with Pat Mayo. Pat, thank you for joining the show. Everyone make sure to listen to his amazing podcast. Are we going to get 15 million downloads?
I hope so. If enough people from this show subscribe, you mean you don't even need to listen to it. Just subscribe to the Pat Mayo Experience, download it, and delete it if you fucking want to. I mean, I suggest you listen. It's kind of funny sometimes. You were on this week.
I was on this week. If you guys want to hear some of my DraftKings takes this week, you can go and listen to that. This is, of course, coming to you Friday morning. And good luck this week, everybody.